loose in the hips.
I am not loose in the hips at all. That is a problem.
Tart.
Call me a tart.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to League Pass and Chill in what's a celebration of the best young players in the league. Now, we're doing this because Luka Doncic is dominating like crazy. Giannis is doing the same. They're probably the MVP frontrunners right now. So a big part of this episode is going to be a fantasy draft where all four of us go through a draft to select the best players under 25 in the NBA. We're going to go through those quick fire answers again. I enjoyed that last time, so we're going to get those guys to go through them. But first, who's here? My name's Olga Nulich. I'm the senior basketball reporter here at foxsports.com.au. How good? I'm also here with Tom Hanley.
Hello.
Ted Smith.
Hey.
And Harrison Pullinger.
G'day.
All right. So, like I said, players 25 and under. That's who we're sort of celebrating today. And I guess we'll start then, before we get into this draft, which we've all prepared for and we're all quite secretive about.
Especially Harrison.
Harrison's list. if you can't see it, but Harrison's list and his like the resources that he's brought in just for this draft.
He brought in a team of specialists
It's intimidating.
Consultancy.
I thought that's what we were doing. I'm sorry.
It's also because this
sorry
is like
for
your,
being prepared.
This is also like your specialty.
I do.
It so, makes me feel inadequate as a podcast
and a man.
Oh,
that's
that's Tom projecting.
That's too real. So we'll go through just some of the quick tidbits of the week before we go into that draft. Giannis just dropped his 20th double-double of the season. The Bucks have played 20 games. They won their 12th straight. They murdered the Knicks today. You know how we go through these tiers. At this point in time, is it just the Bucks and then everyone else? As in, like, the Bucks have the like tier of their own?
In the East, yeah, it certainly seems so. You keep seeing Giannis's numbers and we keep getting surprised, and I don't know why, because he's a freak. He's a freak of nature and he continues to prove it. And even with our Chris Middleton, he's been incredible.
And the Bucks have been incredible, and Chris Middleton just got back too. So they're probably like once they reincorporate him again, I think they're the best team in the league, especially because they've had a pretty, you know, dicey schedule up until this point. Like, the Lakers have had a pretty easy schedule, right?
And so When you say best team in the league, you mean right now they're the hottest team in the league, or you think that they are the number one contender for the NBA title?
It's the sort of thing where up until this point, based on what we've seen from every team against the respective opposition that they faced, I think the Bucks would be the favorite right now. Like, if you were to have the playoffs right now, I think the Bucks are in that top seat.
There you go.
Yeah, does anyone agree with me?
Yeah, I would say so.
Thank you.
100%.
Lakers, they've got two pretty good players. It'd be hard to handle come playoffs time. But Giannis's assists have gone up to 6 this season. I don't know if I've seen anything like him, really. But how well he moves for someone that's 7'2", and now is developing hands, it's unbelievable.
His dunk over Julius Randle today was one of the craziest things I've ever seen. Like, he had a foot outside the restricted area. So another team that's playing extremely well right now, the 76ers. They're 10-0 at home, so they have the best home record. They've had some iffy losses, and they've had some interesting performances, and they haven't looked completely great on the offensive end, especially Joel Embiid. We know it's them and the Bucks atop the East, but I still get the feeling that the Sixers are still, they're not convincing.
Not offensively. No.
Not at all.
Yeah. I think the way you got to look at it then is the off-season moves that they make and how much their team actually changed heading into this year. Just the structure of it, the way they're going to play, when you think about like J.J. Redick's not on the team anymore, just an easy bailout option. Yeah. T.J. McConnell was a really good backup.
So reliable.
Yeah, reliable backup point guard. And Jimmy Butler, the guy that you could rely on to take the ball when Ben wasn't on the court and run the pick and roll, isn't there anymore. And now you've injected this other big man who is a great passing big man, but it's hard to find the spacing around that guy. And Josh Richardson, who's not exactly a ball dominant guy.
Yeah. I wouldn't want one.
Yeah, how many more ball dominant guys do you need on this team before you can be like, oh, their offense should be clicking? I think it comes down to, and it has for the last couple of years, and it will continue to, is it comes down to they do not have an offensive system in place to make everyone better.
Mm.
And Al Horford and Joel Embiid just taking turns floating outside doesn't make sense. Ben Simmons not getting inside at all doesn't make sense. The offense doesn't make sense. And it's coming, again, it comes down to Brett Brown.
And also I think Tobias Harris, he put up 26 points, nine boards today. But he hasn't been doing that consistently. I think he needs to become someone they can turn to in regularity like they did with Butler last year.
He hasn't been shooting it the way that we know he can.
No, he hasn't.
And you've got to remember as well, last year they had, basically had a Ben Simmons lineup and they had a Joel Embiid and Jimmy Butler lineup. Now they have the Ben Simmons lineup, and that's the lineup that actually appears to be playing really, really well together, because you have the spacing of a guy like Tobias Harris and Al Horford. Matisse Thybulle is shooting at a really good clip now from downtown. So is James Ennis. But then the other lineup is Joel Embiid, and the ball handler in that situation right now is Raul Neto. So you've basically replaced Jimmy Butler with Raul Neto in that kind of second lineup.
He played 14 minutes today too.
Neto?
Yeah.
Mm. He's obviously not Jimmy Butler, but it's the sort of thing right now it doesn't look like he's a great guy to work alongside Joel Embiid.
Yeah, I feel like they should put Tobias Harris in that position, because you saw at moments at the end of last year where they were running, when it was Jimmy and Tobias on the floor, they were pretty much just taking turns, taking the pick and roll themselves. So maybe that's the answer, is to stagger them a little bit more and have Tobias and Joel on the court a lot more.
That could work. Mm. And it's the sort of thing where once Tobias gets his shot back, which is slowly coming, Joel Embiid's production will pick up, and it slowly is. He obviously had that 0 point game against the Raptors.
He's played better since that 0 point game. Totally. It's like he's using his size and weight in games when he's not playing Marc Gasol. So. and before we move on, man, yeah. Ben Simmons looks like he's on his way to make all-team defense.
Yeah.
He's lead in the NBA in steals, second in steals per game, second in deflections, and second in loose ball recoveries. So
I like that.
Yeah, he's gone to the point where, I don't know if he's not in the Defensive Player of the Year discussion, but I think he's one step out of it.
Yeah.
Which is a really cool thing for...
Once he makes it, he'll make it forever too.
Totally.
Yeah.
Speaking of scoring, James Harden dropped 60 points in three quarters. Now, I mentioned that because it was... Not because it was effectively redundant, just because it's a trash 60 points.
And Gardy's not here.
But Carmelo Anthony was named Player of the Week this week. Carmelo Anthony scored 67 points this week. James Harden scored 60 points in three quarters. So when I say that Carmelo Anthony dropped 67 points this week, he was named Player of the Week.
Yeah.
When James Harden dropped 60 points in three quarters. You know what I'm trying to say.
They gave it to him because it's a cute story.
It's really nice.
It's a real pity is what it is.
Whoa.
It's sorry for not giving you a job for so long and no one really wanted you. Here you go. Welcome back.
Thanks, guys. In his defense, he's played well.
No one saw it.
He's played, yeah, he's played well, defense, but has he been the best player in the Western
well,
Conference?
He's played well, and Portland went 3-0 last week. Yeah, he actually, you can't do any better than that. So giving it to someone from Portland is sure, fine. But
Luka?
They went undefeated in the week.
So did the Mavs.
He played really well on a team where he was brought in off waivers. Not expected to do anything.
Off the couch too.
The couch. I mean, yeah, okay, maybe he shouldn't have got it. But at the same time, let's not be too harsh on the guy who's, made it back. And he's finally putting some wins on the board for Portland, because they have not been winning games.
While we're talking about Harden, that 60 points came off 24 field goal attempts, which I know you'll like, Harrison. Mm. He's also now tied, I think, Michael Jordan for 60 point games. Yeah. And sits equal third all time, which is crazy. Does anyone think he could do Kobe's 81 this year?
No.
He would have got it.
That was his chance there. Go on.
In December 2005, Kobe put up 62, and then in January 2006, he dropped his 81. So Harden could be building. I wouldn't rule it out.
Was that 62 also in three quarters? And was that against the Mavericks?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And he outscored the Mavericks.
It was in three quarters, absolutely. I don't think that was his only shot. I think there's a chance he's building towards it. It needs to be a perfect storm, though. When Kobe dropped 81, that was a tight contest. And he was.
They were down 20 in that one, I remember.
I'm going to call it the next time, if they do play the Wizards again, that's when it's going to happen.
Why the Wizards?
Because the game they played against each other, wasn't it 160 to 162?
And Bradley Beal had a monster game too.
Yeah.
I remember.
Harden had 59 in that one himself.
Averaging almost 39 points too.
Have we seen anything which says he can be defended anyway? So, like, when you say, could this, like, I don't think this will happen, it needs the perfect storm, I don't think we've really seen anything that says, yeah, someone knows how to stop James Harden.
Do you know who did? Dante Exum. For God's like, sakes. Two postseasons ago. Dante Exum.
Yeah.
Harden stopper.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, his lowest score of the year was in the very first game of the year against Milwaukee, where he only got 19 points, but he also had 14 assists.
Fatigue's his only enemy. Like, that usually drops off. But.
And you've got to think that's coming, because he's not in, like, amazing shape.
Ouch.
No, he's like, they showed some highlights from his, like, 2016 postseason, and it's like, he was so much leaner then, yeah. As in significantly, like, demonstrably leaner.
It helps when you only play one end of the floor.
You're making him sound pretty tubby.
He's okay.
The beard isn't flattering. I was to say that. The
beard have you seen his face underneath it? The beard is flattering.
All right. So now we go into our celebration. We've gone through the news tidbits of the week. They're out of the way. The celebration of the best young players in the NBA, 25 and under. We initially decided on 27 and under, but there were too many players in there that just we didn't think belonged. So 25 and under. And what we've also done is we've chosen the order in which we're picking in the opposite of the order in which we ranked ourselves as basketball players, which was from best to worst, according to this order, Harrison, Tom, myself, Ted. We're going to reverse that as far as the order for this draft, which means Ted, myself, Tom, Harrison.
I'll cop that, but I did have a game, not last week, week before. I dropped 4 from 6. So, on the improve.
Yeah, I was going to say Harrison.
Let's not do the list again.
Did also miss one of the greatest passes that I've ever thrown him in his life. I think that could teeter the rankings a little bit as well.
Did you put yourself above Harrison?
After good that joke. Last game, I put up some numbers in that last one.
It's just that I've watched you guys play one-on-one so many times.
Yeah, that's what it always come down to, the 26 and 2.
It's tight until you make Harrison angry, and then it's over.
Yeah.
When no one's going to mention my 20-point game.
Yeah, nice. Fair.
No one likes Kevin Martin of.
No one likes Terry Pedro.
That's a good clap back, boy, you Olgs. The rankings are correct.
Before we move into the draft, I was looking at the standings and thinking about the 25-year-old players that are in the league currently and how many of the good franchises already have handed their teams over to essentially kids. Like these guys are young.
Yeah.
And in most cases, these guys are not even 25. And out of the playoff teams right now, 35 players on starting lineups are 25 and under.
Wow.
Of a potential 80, 35 of them are 25 and
That's
under.
That's cool.
10 years ago, because I was just like, let's get some perspective. Let's
really
see if the same thing was 10. And 10 years ago, which was when one of the greatest drafts ever, Melo, LeBron, Chris Paul, they're all in that 25. They're starting, hey?
The 2003 draft?
Yeah, sorry, not Chris Paul.
Dwayne Wade, I think.
Yeah,
but Dwayne Wade, that's same what age I was thinking. Then, yeah.
Darko Milicic. Continue.
There was only 25, and that is when they were talking about the first youth movement. So that percentage has gone up by nearly 15% in 10 years.
Man.
So the 25 and under, the youth movement is real. These guys are young, they're talented, and it's happening more and more every year.
And some of them are just clearly the best basketball players in the NBA as well.
Yeah.
I mean, you look what Luka's doing, and I wonder who's going to pick Luka. I wonder who's going to get him. But you look at what he's doing at 20, practically averaging a triple-double. That's just absurd.
Well, you'd have to say the top two MVP candidates right now fit into this category of 25 and under.
It's crazy that they're on this list.
Yeah.
If Harden wasn't hated, he'd be in the chat. 39 points is nothing to sneeze at.
That's true.
But he is hated, so those two are the correct ones. It's Giannis and Luka.
So how are we going to do the draft?
Like a snake draft, obviously.
Mm.
All right. So
beginning with... Ted Smith is on the clock.
Unnecessary sound drop, but
he's got so much more.
Let's make this quick. This is going to be a bit rich for you guys, considering I've been on Team Trey for almost 2 years. But
he's not.
I've got to go, Luca.
Ooh, love it.
I've got to go, Luca.
Yeah,
what are we talking about?
You couldn't not go him, really. He averaged
30 points this month. Mm, so.
November.
Sorry. It is the sort of thing where. There were two people who could have gone number one, right? It was Luka and...
Giannis. Yeah, but I want someone that can shoot the three.
Okay. I mean, like, that's completely reasonable.
He's playing to his team, his structure. Ogun Ulic is on the clock.
I'm going with Giannis.
And why is that?
Because he's the best player in the world currently.
Fair enough.
He's the best player on the best team in the NBA, and I plan to be the best team in our league. He will be the best player on it.
You should always strive for that, Ogun. I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
Tom Hadley is on the clock. It gets a little difficult at this point.
No, it doesn't.
Well, just for me. there's so many players I would love to take first.
It actually is a bit difficult.
It is a little difficult.
I understand it.
And I'm trying to put my own personal biases aside a little bit.
Do you?
I would like to pick the players I like to want to have. I'm just explaining my picks.
How long's he on the clock for?
Yeah.
We did not define a timeline, so. Yeah.
Time's up. You get Tyler Hero.
I'm going to take Karl Anthony Towns.
Oh, yeah.
He's a versatile big guy. He can spread the floor. He can pass. He can run.
It's also a no-brainer.
That's true.
If I was third, that's who I would have won.
Yeah, he's been very dominant this year.
I'm interested to see who Harrison takes because, like, when you look at this list, there are none of, like, I'll say this. Trae Young, I've printed off a list, guys. Mm-hmm. Trae Young is on this list. He seems like the only dude, him and Pascal Siakam are the only dudes who are the best players on their team. Maybe Devin Booker,
Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons there.
Zach
LaVine.
Darren Fox is like also a person who exists.
Jason Tatum.
Devontae Graham is like almost the best player on his team.
And Jokic.
Jokic is so sneaky.
I missed Jokic.
Yeah, and also the one who didn't make the list because he wasn't on the NBA stats page. But
it's done from me. Harrison Bullinger is on the clock.
Yeah, so the last two that we just mentioned, Nikola Jokic is obviously going to be my pick. He is 7 foot tall. He's the best passing big man that we have. He's averaging 6 assists and he plays in the high post, which means I can also put him with another low post guy.
Oh, I wonder who that might be.
There are actually two there who I'm sure you want, but I know which one you're going to take.
Which one do you think I'm going to take?
I think you're going to take Brandon.
No, I'm going to take Zion Williamson.
Nice.
I didn't even get to... on the clock.
Okay.
Well, he still was.
Officially on the clock.
Okay. Yeah, I think a screen and roll possibility with Nikola Jokic and Zion Williamson is actually realistic.
Would you think that Zion might take up some of the deficiencies of Nikola Jokic on the defensive end? Like, he's just lack of speed around the rim.
Look, that's the hope, and we haven't actually seen it from Zion, but we know that he has the potential to be a really good defender. And what you lose with a player like Nikola Jokic, you can actually potentially get up with a Zion Williamson. So hopefully he gets onto the court soon because his last medical test said middle of December. So we should be seeing Zion hopefully before the new year.
I smell a red shirt season.
I have a question about that in our quickfire questions later on today.
Ooh. Okay. Ooh, good tease.
Thank you.
On the clock.
Okay.
Next off the bat, I'm gonna go personal one, and just take Brandon Ingram because he's been my guy for too long that I can't not have him on my team, and he's gone leaps and bounds this year, and I have really enjoyed watching him.
He's having a great season, like across the board too. Who's next? Am I next?
You are next.
You are indeed.
Shit.
Ulich is on the clock.
I'm taking Trae Young. I'm obviously taking Trae Young.
How do you not?
I mean, if I have Giannis, a monster of a human inside the paint, I need someone to stand at like 35 feet just to spread the defense.
Yeah, imagine the driving kicks from the
imagine how much room players. Giannis is going to have with Trae Young out there, just like taking every defender out with him. That makes me so happy.
The Giannis Trae pick and roll is quite exciting to think about as well.
I'm so happy with my team so far.
Ted Smith is on the clock.
I'm going to draft a dude who is currently averaging 25-8-4, Pascal Siakam.
Solid.
On a team that's coming second in the East. And while we're on seconds, that's where he's ranked on Basketball Reference's MVP race this year. So that's a good pick by me. Pretty happy with that.
And Siakam is the best player on a really good Raptors team. Like, they're playing really good basketball right now.
Yeah.
And he's just... his improvement from like 2 years ago to last year to this year is just unreal. Like, I don't know if we've seen anything like that quick.
Yeah, it's like if you just looked from the 2017 season and then saw the start of this season, it's a complete metamorphosis for sure. No one saw it coming really. Next pick, Ben Simmons.
Dang, he took Ben. That's kind of, I'm not too unhappy about that just because I don't have to take him. It's the sort of thing where he's a weird pick, right? Because he sort of clogs up the paint a bit.
Well, you couldn't play Trae and Ben next to each other, could you?
I totally could. I'm scared about playing Giannis and Ben next to each other.
Yeah, it's having two non-shooters on the court, which is what we're seeing in Philly at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Am I next?
Yes. Ulich is on the clock.
I'd like to pick Devin Booker, please. Devin Booker.
So polite. I really enjoy that.
What do you got against defense?
Nothing. I got Giannis.
Okay.
See, Defensive Player of the Year?
He's certainly in the chat.
Was he last year's? Or was that Rudy?
No, the year before he was. Rudy Gobert. He has won it, hasn't he?
No, he hasn't.
He didn't?
No.
Damn it, I voted for him. God damn it.
Yeah, that doesn't mean he won it.
He should have been, though. Is that not how the award... Did I not just pick all the awards? Yeah. Shit.
No, you voted for Joe Ingles, didn't you?
I did.
Oh my God.
You're never going to drop that, are you?
Nope.
No, because it happened.
Please.
Tom Hadley is on the clock.
Oh my God.
These are drops, by the way, guys. This isn't insane.
This is not doing live.
He spent time doing this during his work day.
I recorded these earlier today.
When he's not going to the doctors during his work day, he's making drops.
Yeah. I'm going to put a young... And athletic, or actually not young in the
young's redundant in a list. 25 and under.
I was just thinking that as my brain was ticking over. But a athletic, but semi-big man alongside Cat and Ingram, so we have a nice little stretch defensive, and take Montrezl Harrell.
Ooh,
I really like him, and he seems to have a determination and a drive about him, and I think it would add a lot to my team, especially next to Cat. I think it would be a really good driving force.
And Ingram, who's like. I think like an introvert.
Yeah, they're quite docile guys, and this guy will really inject a lot of energy.
Keep in mind, guys, we're also going to be picking a sixth man. Mm. So we'll have a starting lineup and a sixth man.
Should have left him for that then.
Okay, but you can put him there.
Mm.
You can totally just put him down there.
I was just thinking, do you think the Clippers are going to be able to afford to keep Montrezl after this year? Because surely he's done enough to earn himself a pretty hefty contract.
Well, you say that, but Lou Williams has been balling out for years and he's getting paid $8 million a year.
Mm, he's also like 50.
He's not.
Yeah.
But it like
he's older.
It kind of depends on how the franchise talks to these players. And if these guys feel like they're being respected, then maybe the money doesn't matter so much because there's only so many ways you can get Lou Williams for 4 years at $8 million each year. Like,
yeah,
it's incredible.
Sure.
And Montrezl Harrell was also on a really, really cheap contract. Like, if the front office and if Jerry West is sitting down with you and being like, look, if you take this, we can put together a really great team. I think you do.
Yeah, like if you put him forward, they're going to lock down Paul and Kawhi for this foreseeable future and you're the four players you're going to build this team around. Like you can't say no to that. At least you're getting paid $8 to $9, $10 million a year.
You can pay four guys. So because you got to think it's like Kawhi, Paul George, Lou Williams. They're sort of like the three main guys. Like they're not paying Zubats that much. They're not going to pay Shamet much. Patrick Beverley gets what he's going to get, but it's not a crazy amount. It's like there's room for someone to get a bulk contract, and I feel like that person has to be Montrez.
For sure.
Maybe.
He's certainly earned it this year. He has been on another level this year.
Yeah.
Chris Bullinger is on the clock.
It's quick.
Okay, with Jokic and Zion, we want a little bit of shooting, but then some backcourt, so we're going to go D'Angelo Russell.
Good pick.
24 points, 6 assists. And you know exactly what you're going to get from him, and we're seeing that this year is he's someone who can go for 50 like he did against Minnesota, and he's someone who can score 30 points for a week straight. And I think we're in a pick and roll with either of those two bigs. D'Angelo Russell would be amazing. I can't wait to see if he ends up on a different team or if he stays with the Warriors.
Do you have any concerns about the health status of your team and like their prolonged injury proclivity?
Nope.
Not at all?
Nope.
No.
None?
Fair enough.
Nope.
Also, keep in mind, this is fiction.
Exactly.
Yeah, but they're real players, guys. Yeah. These are real human beings.
Do you have the next pick?
Yes, I also have the next pick. And I've already got a combo guard, so let's go another one, and we're going to go SGA.
Man, okay.
That hurts a lot.
6'5", very good defender, so D'Angelo doesn't need to take the best guard. He's already a really good slasher off the ball. He doesn't have any holes in his game at all, and he's 21.
He's been a bit average lately.
Look, he's been average lately, but he's still getting nearly 20 points a game, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, and is defending the best guard every night. I think SGA, as a young guard with no holes in his game, I don't think there are too many in his league.
It's crazy that he was coming off the bench for the Clips.
Yeah,
and he gets traded, and all of a sudden, I think the Thunder are really cool with saying this is sort of your team.
Well, he was starting in the playoffs, and we saw how amazing he was in the playoffs. And Oklahoma are rolling 3-point guard sets, which means if he's big enough and strong enough to defend threes, he can fit into almost any team in the league right now.
All right, so guys that are still – so the next pick is Tom, I believe. Guys who are still on the list that I've put together that who've yet to be chosen – this is just in order of how well they're scoring this season. Andrew Wiggins is still on the list. Donovan Mitchell. Joel Embiid is still on the list.
That's a surprise.
And a lot of people would call him, and I feel like obviously that comes down to people wanting to start teams not with a post center, right? Joel Embiid is there. You got the two Celtics wings, Tatum and Brown. You got Zach LaVine, Ja Morant. Go all the way down the list, down to Duncan Robinson, who remains on the list somehow. Tom
Manley is on the clock. Speaking of the Celtics wings, I'm going to take Jaylen Brown.
I thought you were going to say Duncan Robinson.
I'm going to go stick to my theme of long athletic wings on defense, or not the wings, but like just long athletic players that can play a lot of defense, but also run the floor and run a nice quick offense. And I think he's a smart guy that I think would be able to really be the leader on this team.
Yeah, I'm watching him this year. I'm really not convinced that Jason Tatum is better.
No.
Brown this year, 19.3 points, 7.1 rebounds, 2 assists. He's nearly shooting 50% from the field, 36 on 3, and he's shooting five three-pointers a game. He's been really good on defense, and if anyone has benefited more from Kemba coming to Boston, I don't know who that would be.
100%. I'm so high on Jaylen Brown, and I'm mad that you chose him, because now I feel like I'm going to have to take Jason Tatum.
You don't have to, man.
Yeah.
I need another wing. And I think Jason Tatum's the only one there who I actually like. I think I'm taking Jason Tatum.
Do it.
Yep, I'm taking Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum's on my team. My God. So basically, my team currently is like Trae Young, Devin Booker, Giannis, and now Jason Tatum. I think he's a guy who you can throw the ball to and he can create his own shot. I think he's got defensive potential, really long. I got a really exciting dynamic team, guys.
The one thing which has been really, really great with Jason Tatum this year is last year the big knock on him was his mid-range twos.
Yep.
All the time. He wouldn't shoot threes. This year he's shooting 6.5 a game.
What was he last year?
3.5.
So that's good.
That's a huge tick up.
I like that just as not even the fact that, like, sure, it's happening. Like, he's like being pragmatic about his game. But it's also just like to change your mentality like that and to completely shift to say, all right, this is like where my game has to go. To actually put it into practice is quite cool.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Mm. Who are your guards at the moment?
Trae Young and Devin Booker.
Yeah, the one issue that I have with Jason Tatum big time is his lack of playmaking. A complete lack of playmaking.
Yeah, that's okay because I have Trae Young and Giannis on my team.
Post Kyrie Irving, he hasn't gone missing as much, but there were patches of games where he went missing a lot last year.
Yeah, I agree.
And at least this season he's shown some clear improvement on that playoff run they had in 2017, because last year he kind of stagnated a bit. But he's up to 21 points a game and he's pumping a lot of threes, taking a lot of attempts and shooting at 36. So
there are points this season where you watch them and you look at him and you think, yeah, he's the best player on this team and he's owning that.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's where he needs to go. Because that's where his potential, that's where his ceiling is.
Yeah, to me he just looks like he's about a 6.5 or 7 out of almost everything except for passing. He doesn't excite me. Or it's like Ben Simmons has flaws, but he's one of the best young defenders in the comp, and he's 7.
Passing's
he's
a 10.
He's explosive, right?
Totally.
Luka's slow, but so was Larry Bird, and he's got that appeal about him. Like, you're watching the guile and the craftiness. He doesn't have that element to his game where it's like, oh, we have to watch Jason Tatum.
Yeah.
Jason Tatum.
Like, but what does he do? Great.
Yeah.
I get that.
You,
Ken Smith is on the clock.
Okay, never
Cut
mind.
Off.
Never mind. Sorry, Commissioner.
We're stuck to a very strict time limit, apparently.
Teddy?
Look, yeah, I'm going to get him to play the five for me, but it's Porzingis. Having Simmons on the floor, I want my five to be able to shoot the three.
That's so smart. And I get that. Like, obviously, I'm looking this season and I haven't been completely convinced.
Yeah, of course not. But he had that much time out where I think next year he's going to be really good if he can stay fit this year. Think to Zach LaVine when his first year back from that injury, he wasn't that great. It was the second year back. Same can be said with Paul George. The second year of a return from a serious injury can see some massive upticks in their stats.
So, Ted, you have Luka, Siakam, Kristaps.
Yeah.
Then whom?
And then I'm going to go – do I have my starting five or do I have four?
You have three currently.
No, Simmons, Luka,
Siakam. Oh, you have
Siakam,
Simmons. Totally my bad.
Porzingis.
This is going to be your fifth player.
Okay. So what do I need? A four? No, I'm going to – I can't believe it. I can't believe it. This is a really bad pick. I can feel myself like hating it already, but the pressure's real. It's Andrew Wiggins. I'm going to go.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. Look at what he's doing this year. You're allowed to change the narrative, right?
Yeah.
It just fits. Also, I hate myself.
I like how reluctant you were to do it.
Oh, my God.
So Ted has five.
Ogun Ulich is on the clock.
So basically, I have to choose between my five or my sixth man. So they're like they're my two things left. And I still can't believe Joel Embiid is still on the board.
I don't know why you're so surprised by that.
It's because
he's like fourth
because,
or fifth in MVP.
But you look at his fit.
No,
and
that's
a team
problem.
Needs to be built around him. And if you're restricting yourself to some of the most talented players in the NBA, Joel Embiid doesn't fit with many of them.
I would have got laughed out of the building if I drafted Simmons and Embiid. So,
so like that's my thing though. So I'm thinking, well, that's why I'm surprised. Just because he's, if you just in totality look at these players, he's maybe what, like a top five or six guy, just as far as talent goes.
Mm-hmm.
He just doesn't fit with the other guys that are above him. That's a problem. What I'm going to do, am I allowed to just pick a player and have him be my sixth man and he's not allowed to? Again, fiction. Okay, I got you. All right, off the bench as my sixth man, I want Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah.
Solid.
It was between Donovan and Ja.
That's who I should have just picked. My God.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Basically, it was between Donovan Mitchell and Ja Morant as my sixth man. I'm thinking, who's going to come off the bench? I'm going to put the ball in his hands and he's going to make stuff happen. I know Ja Morant can do that, but I do like the idea of Donovan Mitchell being a more reliable scorer.
I would have thought, like, for your needs, Jamal Murray fits better as in that role.
And I'm a big fan of Jamal Murray,
too. He's a much better spot-up shooter.
But I don't mind Donovan Mitchell as a spot-up shooter, and I like him as a creator, a playmaker. And I just think a dude coming off the bench, someone who can do that, I like that.
Very interesting. I think, like, when you look at Jamal Murray and what he did against Portland with Nikola Jokic in that screen and roll, you're giving him Giannis with shooters all around him. I think, I don't know, I find that an interesting pick. I put Donovan Mitchell in the same category as Joel Embiid, where it's like, well, like, what does he give me?
Well, that's why he's my sixth man. That's why, before the season, like, I'll sit him down, like, we'll have a chat. Like, he's the sixth man. You have to accept your role. I'm sending you back to Salt Lake City. It's my world.
You done?
Don't mind it. On the clock. You were tossing up Ja Morant just before, and I am in the same kind of space where I'm tossing up between De'Aaron Fox and Ja Morant.
You don't
two
have a point
young,
guard.
Quick guys.
That shouldn't even be a toss-up.
They can run the ball. Yeah, but
take Kobe White, you coward.
It's like his hairdo.
Hey.
I am going to take De'Aaron Fox, though.
And you picked wrong.
I am going to take De'Aaron Fox. He has a place in my heart. I think he's insanely fast. He's a little bit bigger than Ja. He's a little bit more developed than Ja. And I think he'd be a little bit more capable on the defensive end while still pushing the pace of my team. And I think he could be potentially a more reliable shooter off the ball. And
huge. Ja is already longer. He's got longer arms. And
didn't take into account that arm length, did you?
No.
And he's already a better shooter. Ja's already a better shooter. He's shooting 45% from the field, 41% from three. Huge.
De'Aaron Fox had a really good season last season.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah. I still don't know if it was as good as what we've seen from Ja Morant already.
Really?
Yeah. I think Ja Morant, like, he's averaging 6.4 assists in a really bad Memphis team when he was locked at about 22 minutes to start the year.
I'm not going to say it was an easy pick, but yeah, I appreciate and enjoy De'Aaron Fox a lot more.
Welcome to the club of Harrison lecturing you after making a pick. It's a lot of fun.
Speaking of Harrison, Harrison Bullinger is on the clock.
Make your pick, shithead.
It's getting tense in the draft room.
So aggressive. Yeah,
the tension is getting high. Did someone turn up the heat?
Okay, I am going to take Jonathan Isaac.
Yeah, I like that.
Because I think he can play the three and he's also a defensive beast. And I think an Isaac at the four, Zion at the five, with my guards that are already there.
They're running.
Yeah, they're running. No, SGA.
Yeah. How tall is Jonathan Isaac?
Oh.
6'9", 6'10"?
Yeah, but I think he's bigger than that.
Is he? Yeah. He's like looks pushing towards 6'10", 6'11" these days. I've heard inklings that he might be 7 feet tall now.
That's what some people have said. He's super long, but he does have that like hoofy hairstyle at the top.
Did you hear those inklings?
I got some people around the, business.
My ear
around
on the
room.
Yeah. Rumor has it.
He's a 7 footer, guys.
Yeah, into the door. Yeah.
The hell.
I DM'd him. I was like, bro, are you 7 feet?
No, no matter how tall he is, he's averaging 2.8 blocks per game. He's leading the league in blocks per game. Yeah. Alongside 1.4 steals per game. He's a monster defensively, and he's got a positive net rating, even though Orlando is not very good.
Yep.
I don't think people understand how good Jonathan Isaac is yet.
It's the sort of thing where if Orlando was better, people would take more notice, and I think he would be like the easy front runner for Defensive Player of the Year if they were better, but they're just not better. They're just a bit bad. I'm worried about the sort of lack of shooting on your team. You're making a very magic-y sort of team too, so like, good on you for that.
Thank
very
you.
On brand. But yeah, that's something I worry about for you. So I do wonder who your next pick.
Oh, D'Angelo can shoot. Nikola,
I mean, like D'Angelo can shoot, obviously, and Shai is like getting better. I don't trust him like completely.
Is it
like,
Shai or Shea?
SGA is a I don't know. Shai Shay.
I always thought it was Shai. Yeah, I could be wrong.
Yeah. I don't know. Gilgeous Alexander is it Gilgeous? Nah. he's a good enough shooter. This is a lack of shooting. I don't trust Johnny Isaac. I don't trust Zion. Jokic is iffy.
There is a lack of shooting, and that's why I was tossing up between two players for my sixth man.
I know who you're going to take too. I'll just cross it off the list.
Interesting. I'm going to take Jamal Murray.
Yeah, there it is.
I was tossing up between him and Caris LeVert, which I think, in terms of what you were looking at as your sixth man, I think Caris LeVert is an awesome playmaker as well. But yeah, Jamal Murray shooting in a screen and roll with good players around him, happy with that.
Yeah, I don't mind that. Your team is complete, Harrison.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Tom Manley is on the clock. And you mentioned Caris LeVert, and he will be my sixth man.
Of course.
He's a very versatile scorer, and he'll be able to have the ball in his hands, playmake, while my original playmaker is off the floor.
We've also seen him as a sixth man, he's looked really, really good in that role.
Can't handle that role very well, other than being forced into it like some other GMs might want to do.
Ooh. That sounded sassy.
Yeah, it was shots at you. Ogun Olic is on the clock.
Oh, my God.
So for my last pick, I needed a five. I thought maybe taking Joel just for shits, but I think I have enough shooting. I think I'm going Clint Capella.
Clint Capella?
Clint Capella. I need a rim protector, and that is Clint Capella in my eyes. Giannis can play the four. I'm happy with that pick, Clint Capella.
And you wouldn't prefer a bit of Bam?
I don't think so, just because Bam's a guy who you can throw the ball into and he can create.
Why do you prefer Clint Capella over Joel Embiid?
Because Joel Embiid is a dude who, on the offensive end, he excels when you throw him the ball, right? I don't need him involved in pick and rolls and things like that. I like the idea of having a rim protector, a guy who can run rim to rim, offensive boards, throw down that sort of stuff.
So Embiid's left out because he can do too much, right?
Mm. Pretty much.
And then you also like to surround Giannis with shooters, so you
take the guy that can't step outside the free throw line.
For someone over the Miles Turner, say, who is one of the best.
This has just turned into a little wars. Like, say your pick so I can tell you what you're
shooting.
Or
even Sabonis.
Sabonis is an interesting one.
Sabonis would have made more sense.
But you got to think of who's on my team. I got Trae Young, Devin Booker, Jason Tatum, Donovan Mitchell. I need like some defense.
So
I don't
where's
trust
Clint
Sabonis.
Capella going to stand with Giannis when Giannis has the ball?
Dunker spot.
And when Giannis drives to the hole, he's going to run into Clint Capella, or they just high five, or
no.
There's a reason why Brook Lopez is the center for the Milwaukee Bucks.
He'll dish it off, and it's the dunker spot. And then what's going to happen is Clint's going to go to the bench. Donovan Mitchell comes in. Hello, there's too much shooting around Giannis. I don't know where to pass it. There are too many options for me. Yeah, but when push comes to shove, I'm in the playoffs and everything's in the half court. I want Clint Capella.
You want a really poor half court player? Makes sense. Get a rim runner for the half court.
Wow, Clint Capella is basically like a. Like a 16-16 guy.
He was excellent in, not last season, before.
Clint Capella, if you look at his averages, He's close to 16 and 16.
16 and 16.
As in, that's not what he's averaging, but he can give you that every night. He can give you that a lot of nights. He had the last 2 weeks, he had like five straight games where he had 20 rebounds.
How much is that based off the Rockets' offense of just throwing up as many shots as possible and playing next
to... Look at my team. Look who,
one of the highest volume two of the highest volume shooters.
Can I change my pick then?
No, he's averaging, right? he's averaging 14.6 and 14.7. points and rebounds.
So that's not...
He's almost a 15 and 15 guy.
That's not off by much.
It's not.
I'm saying I don't mind the idea of those two playing alongside each other.
Okay.
Who's up? Come on, Tom. You want to be a sound drop guy or not?
Hey, I'm also trying to contribute to a podcast here as well.
When we go quiet, that's when we're waiting for you.
Ted Smith is on the clock.
All right. You're going to laugh at this, probably. Fred VanVleet.
On your team?
Yeah.
No, you need that.
Yeah, because then it gives me some flexibility as well. And also, he's having an outstanding year. It's going to be interesting when Lowry comes back into the rotation. He's shooting 40% from three, 7.5 assists per game, 18.6 points, which dwarfs his career total, averaging 2 steals a game and 4 cheeky boards as well. So, and that's on a team that's currently sitting, I think, second in the East.
I don't think he'll dip once Lowry comes back either. I think they'll really be able to play next to each other, complement each other really well.
These numbers suggest he's an all-star.
Yeah.
You know, he's killing it on a team, like I said, that's doing really well. And ever since that playoff run started last year, it hasn't really finished in terms of him having the hot hand. So, yeah.
There is a question about Fred VanVleet in our quickfire question and answers as well.
Okay.
Cool. I've hit a lot of topics, but I do like that because when you look at your team, Luka, Siakam, Kristaps, Simmons, Wiggins, and Fred VanVleet, I think you needed some sort of like perimeter action there.
All my guys besides Simmons shoot 33% from three or better.
Yeah, it's nice. All right, so teams are in.
They're all in.
Every team's in. Mm. I'll run through them. My team is Trae Young, Devin Booker, Giannis, Jason Tatum, Clint Capella, Donovan Mitchell as my sixth man. Ted Smith's team, Luka Doncic, Pascal Siakam, Kristaps Porzingis, Ben Simmons, Andrew Wiggins, Fred VanVleet. Tom Hanley's team, Karl Anthony Towns, Brandon Ingram, Montrezl Harrell, Jaylen Brown, De'Aaron Fox, Caris LeVert. And Harrison Pullinger's team, Nikola Jokic, Zion Williamson, D'Angelo Russell, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Johnny Isaac, Jamal Murray.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, I don't know what the thumbs down's for, Ted. I think my team's shaping up really well.
Well, given that I gave you the thumbs down straight after Algon said your team, well, that'd be a strong hint.
So when I look at the team, I look at the teams, I think Tom's is the worst.
That's what I was giving the thumbs down. That's what I was like, I was straight onto it.
Yeah.
I just think, like, who you have one good defender on your team. One good defender.
I got Jaylen Brown, Montrezl Harrell, Brandon Ingram, and Karl Anthony Towns, all very long athletes.
Karl Anthony Towns is a good defender. Montrezl Harrell's not.
And Ingram can get bodied in bad matchups against a fair few players.
Yeah, that's why you got Jaylen Brown. He can muscle up his threes and Brandon Ingram can take the twos.
Yeah, nah.
just to clarify, there's never going to be a situation where we're going to look at each other's teams and just be perfectly happy with it.
Yeah.
So, Ted, your team. I like your team.
It's not bad, man.
It's a nice team. It's very like...
I feel like everyone's like, see, let's see, this is mine. This is ridiculous.
Dude, yeah. They spent like a good old segment shitting on my Clint Capella pick.
That's fair.
Yeah?
We did.
So, Ted, I like your team's extremely wing heavy, which I don't mind at all.
It's 2019, hey?
Mm. Yeah, man.
Yeah, no, totally. Yeah. I mean, that's why I got the best wing in the game on my team.
Well, Clint Capella?
No. Clint Capella will reap the benefits of all the sick driving that Giannis does, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah, by default, having Giannis means that your team's good.
Thank you.
But the Bucks, who else plays on that team?
Yeah, but Trae Young is on my team.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, say a bad thing about Trae Young, Ted. I do.
It's impossible because I love him.
And Devin Booker.
Yeah,
and Jason Tatum.
That's good. And Tatum's shooting it at all right click from three as well. So.
Thank you. Thank you. Good team. Yeah. And Harrison's team, it's just like fat people, hey.
Yeah, Jonathan Isaac really cuts that average down.
So does totally.
So there are players with weight problems on that team. Like a large chat, Jokic and Zion, everyone's like, oh, they need to lose weight.
So. Do you guys just only play in the half court with those two?
With Zion? No, you're running.
Yeah, you're running.
Don't tell Jokic.
I bet Jokic was your first pick, and then you pick Zion, and he was like, ah, shit. God damn it.
It is interesting when you look at who we picked. It really shows what we like in watching the NBA. Like, you love your shooters, and you went Trae Young, Devin Booker.
Yeah.
Like, I think Giannis and Doncic were hands-down picks, but then after that, there really is a direction for how we all appreciate the game, which is pretty cool.
And what's interesting, we, outside of this podcast, I created a fantasy team on NBA 2K20, and Harrison helped me. Harrison did every second pick for me, and I ended up, it was very cute. We're very cute. I ended up having Trae Young and Devin Booker as my one and two.
Yeah.
Until I ended up doing some trades and I got Luka Doncic instead of Trae Young. But that's where my sensibilities veer toward that every time.
If we're talking about the best at each position, best point guard 25 and under.
Is Luka a point guard?
No, he's a ball dominant two, right? He's not a genuine point guard.
Or a three. He's a point guard.
Like, shit.
Surely, he takes the ball off the back, runs.
So LeBron's done that his whole career, but it wasn't until he said, I'm playing the point, where everyone's like, oh, he's a point guard.
Yeah, which is ridiculous. He was a point guard.
Yeah.
Totally. So, there are no positions. As in, we'll call a point guard the position that you defend.
Yeah.
I think that's a decent way to look at it.
Sure.
Who is the best point guard under 25 then? So, like, you've got Trae Young.
Simmons is better than Trae Young.
Yeah, I agree.
Because defense counts.
Oh, no question. Is that it then? And does Ben Simmons guard ones?
One through four, but yeah.
It's a weird question.
Mm.
Because it's veering away from just being point guards. It's just being really skillful everything else's.
Mm.
Yeah.
So when we look at, for example, this is just like from top to bottom, it's like the highest scoring list, but it's Giannis, Luka, Trae Young's there, but then it's Karl Anthony Towns, Pascal Siakam, Brandon Ingram. Those are just like big, versatile people. And I feel like that's like the future of the NBA. It's the future of where basketball's going.
Yeah, I know Devin Booker, dropped 70 versus Celtics that game. So he can score the basket. But when I watch him, it's like the fact that he can't drive to the hoop very well.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, he's not in the same class as those other players we're talking about, like Luka, like Giannis.
That's why you should put him next to a guy like Giannis.
Yeah, yeah.
Like what I did.
I think in your team's potential is limited if Devin Booker's your best player.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
Because Devin Booker has all the looks of like a 1B sort of guy. I like him as a second option on a team, on a good, very good team.
I watched a three-minute Facebook video yesterday of Devin Booker sinking 45 consecutive threes at training.
Yeah.
It was sport porn. I loved it.
So is the guess here that we just all think we have the best team?
Except Tom, yes.
Tom, no. Who do you think has the best team?
Me, clearly.
You say that with zero confidence in the world.
Is that obvious in my voice?
I have the best team.
Yeah, look, I picked my players on the players that I enjoy watching, and like Harrison said, I enjoy watching. I would think that Harrison would probably have the best team.
Surprise, surprise. Tom picks Harrison.
I don't agree.
Yeah, I would say anyone with Giannis and Doncic is probably going to have the best team.
Thank you.
Let's talk about some of the
rest of your team.
Let's talk about some of the surprises that didn't get picked. There aren't many huge shocks. Obviously, Embiid getting picked up is quite a surprise. Who else we got?
I thought Sabonis as a five man fits in a lot of NBA offenses. And you look around the league and you're like, they can trade him anywhere and he'll fit. He can play outside, he can play inside, and he's one of the best passing bigs. I was really surprised that he didn't come off the board.
Maybe Olgan should have went DeAndre Ayton instead of Clint Capella.
I considered DeAndre Ayton, but I wanted a rim protector. Okay. Like, I needed someone who can man the paint like that. And because I don't want Giannis to be just resigned to being in the paint.
I thought Jaren Jackson would fit with your offense as well.
Just as like a five.
Because he's a shooter. He's shooting totally. 5.5 threes a game. And he is an elite rim protector if he can stop fouling.
That is true. He had a good game today too.
Mm.
Also on this list that didn't get chosen, Zach LaVine. That's basically just like I don't know what you'd call him. Just he's a shooting guard and like that's all he is. Just a guard who shoots.
He's a mixtape guy.
No, he's athletic, man.
Totally, but he's not a great defender. Like
he's a very poor defender, I think.
Correct.
If you look at the rest of the Chicago this year.
So like you said, Sabonis is there. The next on this list is Rui Hachimura. Would anyone have taken him?
I mean, potentially me.
Okay. It's
the Asian connection, but besides that.
Like Larry Markkanen.
Bam.
The idea of Larry Markkanen's good, right? Like in theory, Larry Markkanen's good.
Oh, like I considered him as a dude who can just come on and stretch the floor.
Yeah.
But I don't.
Yeah, it was for me, it was out of him or Porzingis. But I was like, if I'm going to play one of them at the five, it's got to be Porzingis.
True. And then you got, like you said, DeAndre Ayton was kept on this list. Devontae Graham's having a really good season this year. No one chose Julius Randle. John Collins is a dude who I think you can slot into a lot of teams and he could make a good impact. And then, like, Tyler Herro is also another dude who's just, if you want a shooter, just straight-up knockdown shooter.
Let's throw some kerosene on the vitriol as well. Who's the worst pick out of the teams that we...
Clint Capela.
Yeah.
It's got to be the worst pick.
Yeah.
Is that what you wanted?
That'll do. That's perfect.
I feel like you've just rattled off a number of five men.
Ogun's lost skin color.
Better rim protectors and can still stretch the floor.
Clint Capela is
15 and 15. It's, you know,
Clint Capela is better than Caris LeVert.
I actually think one of the guys which also would have been a great fit was John Collins. John Collins is 7 of 14 from threes at the top of the key, which is perfect when Giannis is your big man, and he's 47% on catch-and-shoot attempts. John Collins fits. Clint Capela, I don't think fits.
I don't do as much research as you. Can I have John Collins then?
No, it's too late.
I'd like to make a trade.
No, with who?
Yeah, with who?
Tom, do you want to trade Carl Anthony Towns for Clint Capela?
No.
Okay.
It's just turning into your fantasy.
This is how I do fantasy. Yeah.
God.
That was fun.
That was fun.
Mm. I had a lot of fun. And now we just leave these teams forever.
Yeah.
We'll
have this podcast as a reference. I think we'll try and come back this time next year or later in the season to see how these players are holding up.
If
Capella's still the worst pick. I mean, Fred Van Fleet, I thought I would have got some shade for that or half of Tom's roster. But
you guys will see. You'll all see.
Oh, God.
The Tommy Turbos will come in quick.
You have De'Aaron Fox on your team.
Yeah, you have Clint Capela on yours.
You can't keep. He's lovely. He's great. He's like the most reliable player. He's averaging 15 and 15.
Yes. Put him on any other team. Does he do the same?
I mean, that kind of puts it in perspective how good these young players are. The fact that someone that's averaging 15 and 15 is copping so much shade.
Yeah.
You know, these blokes, you look at Giannis, Luka, potentially Kat, potentially Siakam at some stage. I think a lot of the MVPs over the next 10 years are going to be from this group. They're going to dominate. LeBron might have one more in him. Harden might have one more in him. But besides that, it's these guys.
It already is. The top two people on this list are Giannis and Luka.
Yeah.
They're probably the two MVP frontrunners right now.
Yeah.
Also, Clint Capela's 25. I need like a veteran presence.
Let it go.
Let's get into some quick fire question and answers.
Ooh.
All right. So these are, you can't hedge on these questions. These are going to be yes or no, or like you have to pick one or the other. No hedging. First question. Who's the best halftime act in the NBA? Is it Red Panda, the Simon Says guy, or the acrobat with the dog?
Oof.
Harrison?
Red Panda.
Yeah, I'd go Red Panda.
I've been on the Simon Says guy's train for a while now. He's actually really entertaining to watch. And I've never seen a quicker game of Simon Says and more control over a group of adults.
Yeah I've never seen anyone care so much about a game of that. So
yeah.
Red Panda's the plate lady, right?
Yeah.
I'm still reserving the fact that she belongs in the Basketball Hall of Fame.
I agree.
Mm. Yeah, that's a good call.
The baby races are pretty entertaining.
Though. Oh, there was a great one the other day as well.
The Pelicans one?
That was so good.
It was cool.
We were all huddled around, like six of us huddled around the computer watching it. So good.
Who's had a better career up until this point, Andrew Wiggins or Jamal Murray? Harrison?
Jamal Murray.
Jamal Murray's won a playoff series.
Ted?
Andrew Wiggins is in the top 20 highest paid players in the NBA, so.
Fair
enough. I'm going to go with Jamal Murray though as well.
Who would you rather, John Collins or Bam Adebayo?
Bam, bam, baby.
Harrison? Apparently no one after today's draft, but go on.
I'm going to say John Collins.
Ted, you're with Bam?
Yeah, 14 and 11 this year, I mean.
And what, like 5 or 6 assists a game?
Yeah, he moves the ball from side to side.
I'll stick with Bam on that as well. It's just his ball movement out of the post.
Dang. You with John Collins, Harrison?
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. ESPN's Bobby Marks said Fred VanVleet could get between $25 and $30 million a season next season and onwards. Is it worth it? Yes or no? Harrison?
No.
Ted? $25 to $30 million a season.
If this is his new line, what he's putting up this year, then it makes sense when you look at what Rozier got.
Pure production.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, I was just to say the same thing. It seems like a lot of money at first, but when you put it in the context of the whole
NBA, it's a lot of money.
The growing of the growing general salary of the NBA. I still don't think it's worth it though.
You're basically saying that this guy is like one of your starting guard positions.
I think like if you roll through this list that we've got in front of us, there are a lot of guards. Guards come all the time.
And there are more versatile forwards that are becoming that can play and defend against guards.
And giving 30 million up for a dude who's 6'2". I think is rough.
Yeah. According to the New York Times, the NBA could incentivize the winner of the midseason tournament with an extra draft pick. On a scale of 1 to a million, how much do you, Tom and Harrison regret not bringing this idea up when we spoke about it on last week's podcast?
Probably a million.
Probably a million. The New York Times said that?
As in, no, that's the New York Times said that's what the NBA is considering.
Oh, damn it.
So you guys had the same idea.
That could have been League Pass and Chill reports.
We could have had like the exclusive.
That this is our idea.
Yeah.
Damn it.
You've got a similar reach too to the New York Times. It's close.
Oh, what is that, the paper of record? We're like the podcast of record. Zion's knee surgery was 6 weeks ago today. He hasn't begun on-court work yet. Will he play this season? Harrison.
I think he will.
Nah.
Tom?
Yeah, I think he will.
He hasn't started on-court work yet. It's been 6 weeks.
It just reminds me heaps of Ben Simmons' rookie year.
It is fair.
And so it's going to get to a point where wins will hurt their draft stock. So
yeah, like they're not fighting for a playoff spot, really.
You don't think that they would consider just the red shirt?
I think they have too many decisions to make regarding those Lakers guys and the extensions that they need to put on them, and I think they need to see Brandon Ingram with Zion.
See how they work together.
So some of those Lakers transfers are in their last year of their contract.
Yeah, and okay. I don't know if you can say that you're going to extend Brandon Ingram to a max contract, which he will get at the end of this year, unless you see him alongside Zion, because Zion is your future.
It's interesting.
Yeah,
because Ingram's going to need that money from what we've seen this year.
All right, you're the Spurs in this situation. You want to trade for picks and kind of start over, but you can only get rid of one of these guys, LaMarcus Aldridge or DeMar DeRozan. Which do you give up, Harrison?
I'd probably give up LaMarcus Aldridge in the hope that that Lucas Samanak that they drafted this year can play.
Dead.
I think because it'd come down to what you can get the most for. It'd probably be DeRozan, right? So I'd get rid of DeRozan. And like we were saying before, there's so many dominant guards in the league or coming through the next couple of drafts that he's probably going to be a bit easier to replace.
But are you going to get that much for DeMar DeRozan? Does he really suit today's NBA? He's taken like 14 threes this year and hasn't hit a single one.
That's the thing. Yeah. Do you want that sort of player or do you want a LaMarcus Aldridge, which is the sort of player that's dying out?
Yeah, exactly. Right? So they're both dying out. That's the thing.
That's why the question is terrific.
I know. That's why I'm stuck on it. But I'd probably still keep LaMarcus Aldridge just because you probably could get a little bit more for DeMar because LaMarcus is pretty old.
You look at like 1 year difference between Jason Tatum shooting threes and long twos, and DeMar DeRozan can just take a step back.
But he hasn't. He's been doing this.
Yeah, no, but that's something which is changeable. LaMarcus Aldridge, he's like 50. There's nothing changeable about his game anymore.
LaMarcus Aldridge can shoot threes, and so can DeMar DeRozan, but it's the sort of thing where can a 30-something-year-old change?
I think he can.
As in, like, obviously anyone can change, but it's the sort of thing, like...
Deep.
It's easy. Thank you. like, changing for a young guy like Jason Tatum to change his habits, it's different than an NBA veteran to change his habits.
Yeah, I think that you get a lot of other things from DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah.
He is a good playmaker, which we saw in the start of last year when they didn't have DeJounte Murray and they hadn't quite figured out that Derek White, that backcourt yet. He's a good passer, he's a good defender, and he can score the ball. Without shooting a three, he's still scoring.
Last question. Who was the biggest steal of this draft? I've written some down. Was it Tyler Herro at 13, Matisse Thybulle at 20, Brandon Clark at 21, or Eric Pascal at 41?
Brandon Clark.
Ted? Tyler Herro at 13, Thybulle at 20, Clark at 21, Pascal at 41.
I'll stay on today's theme and go defense. So Thybulle.
Thybulle at 20?
Yeah.
I'm tossed in between with Thybulle or Clark because I think Thybulle works if you want to win now, like the Sixers want to do, and then Clark is your better bet long term.
So Thybulle, unrelated, is shooting above 45% from three, which is really big. He also has the same amount of deflections as Kawhi Leonard in 155 fewer minutes.
Brandon Clark shooting 45.5% from three.
How many a game?
Half of one.
Good follow-up, Tommy.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Harrison didn't even have to peek at his notes then either. Like, that's like, he recites that to himself before bed.
Every night.
Those are our quick fire questions and answers.
Oh, I've got one actually off the bat.
All right.
So I want to throw my own little one in there.
All right.
Who?
Did you just fire me as host?
I did. Continue. Yeah. Who is more dominant as a big man, Shaq or Giannis?
I think we're seeing it pretty clear that Giannis is doing things that Shaq never could.
Mm.
Yeah.
Giannis is different because he can also drive to the rim.
Yeah. So like if you're just inside 12 feet.
It's easy to forget how dominant Shaq is.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing.
But especially skinny Shaq, first 3 years in the league.
You see the thing that Giannis do in the post and how far away, like he turns tough, like mid-range jump shots into easy layups and dunks.
One thing that is worth mentioning, the amount of centers that could give Shaq proper defense in the 90s is a lot more compared to today, where there aren't enough big bodies in the league to really stop and slow Giannis. Like, Shaq was going up against different defenders in comparison to Giannis, but yeah, I'd probably go Shaq. It's like,
I just think if there's a couple of seconds left on the clock and you're down, I don't know, by whatever, you can foul Shaq and he's going to miss.
Yeah.
He can't shoot a free throw.
Giannis isn't shooting well this year either.
But he's still better.
He's still better than Shaq. I remember it came out after he retired that if he made half the free throws that he missed, he would have broken Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's score.
Really?
Yeah. That's how much of a hole he had in his game.
Interesting follow-up question to that then. In the draft that we just did, would Shaq have been selected? Would a 24-year-old Shaq have been selected from purely fit?
Playing in today's NBA or his NBA?
As in, like, we've...
Today's team. The only way you could is if you knew you could surround him with three-point shooters.
I probably would have picked this.
You'd have him for sure.
He's going one.
Yeah.
Is Shaq really that different to what Zion is now? Apart from Zion can jump, Shaq was 7'2". Are they really that different? They can't shoot.
That's
both
interesting,
good defenders. They're amazing under the rim. I think he's going one overall.
Do you think he goes one overall?
Yeah, I think he goes before Zion.
Okay, I was talking about our draft. Our pretend.
Oh, I thought you meant if he was in... Sorry, I thought...
No, that's my bad. No,
sorry.
No, that's your bad, actually.
Shaq averaged 29 points as a 21-year-old, too.
Shit.
Yeah, he's getting drafted.
He'll get drafted. Yeah. In any draft.
Yeah.
How many rebounds as well?
It was 2.9 13. Blocks.
2.9 blocks is huge.
13.2 rebounds and 2.5 assists as well.
What from the line?
That's kind of nice.
It's incredible.
That's sick.
What did you shoot from the line, Ted?
55%, which isn't bad.
That's not as bad as I thought it'd be.
Career-wise, but...
He got worse,
That was that year.
Based on his whole career. Yeah, based across his whole career, that's not bad for him.
Well, we had fun, and we hope you guys had fun too. If you like what you heard, If you like what you heard, go to your favorite podcast app, rate, review, subscribe, all that good stuff. Go on social media. We're all there. Just search our names. You'll find us. We are at LPAC Pod. That's where you can find all of our stuff. Have a good weekend. Have a good week.
Have a good... It is
totally
Tuesday.
My bad.
Yeah, it's Tuesday today, but who knows when they're going to listen to it.
That's true.
And also just have a great weekend every week.
Yeah. Have a good week. See you next week.
Bye.
Matt.
Bye.
Bye.